Welcome to today's fellowship-wide seminar on the 2025 World Service Conference Report and the 2026 World Service Conference Early Motions. This is presented by the General Service Board, Nominations, Procedures, and Planning Committee of Debtors Anonymous. This is known as NOMPRO. My name is Roger, and I am a debtor, and I am in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada, region, and I'm also chair of the General Service Board. So, welcome to everyone on the call today, and also those who will be listening on the recording. Our call today, actually, why don't we begin with the Serenity Prayer, beginning with the Wii version. God,
God,
grant us the
give us
serenity
serenity
to
to
accept the
accept the
things we
things
cannot
we cannot
change,
change,
courage to
courage
change
to
the
change the
things
things
we
we
can,
can,
and the wisdom to know the difference. Our call today will include eight speakers, including myself, and this will be recorded for audio playback on the debtorsanonymous.org website. This recording can be found under Fellowship Services, then Fellowship Recordings, and will be posted within a few days. After the speakers, we will stop recording this webinar for a question and answer period. Anyone asking a question will not be recorded. So you should be able to see a slide for our 2025 World Service Conference report. Our conference was held last year in the first week of August in Burlingame, California. And this report came out a few months after the conference, and it contains a lot of information which can be found at debtorsanonymous.org/fellowship-services/world-service-conference. And then you can pick 2025 to see the extremely large volume of this report. It contains reports from all of the World Service Conference committees and caucuses, as well as the various motions and recommendations that were made last year in the 2025 conference. It also contains the issues and concerns and their general responses. Last year, there were several motions that were made, and a motion is made during convocation following 2 to 3 days worth of meetings held by the various World Service Conference committees. They come to an agreement and present a motion, which goes to the convocation, which a motion requires a vote. Committees and caucuses also make recommendations, and recommendations are listed. And generally, these are recommendations to the General Service Board or to another World Service Conference committee. And those are, they request action to be taken over the next year. So our first speaker is Geraldine. And Geraldine is also on the GSB NOMPRO committee, and she'll speak to us about the motions that were submitted in 2025.
Hi, everybody. I'm Geraldine. I am a debtor. I'm current chair of GSB Non-Pro Committee. And I'm just slightly a little bit confused because I thought I was going to speak about what the motions are and what the procedures are at conference. I don't. No, I don't have a slide with the 2025 motions on
You can just give your brief overview, Geraldine.
it.
That'd be
So
great.
I pre what I've prepared is an overview about what motions are and how they work at conference. They're Roger touched on it a bit, their official proposals approved at the annual Debtors Anonymous World Service Conference, and they set our policies and they develop our literature. In 2021, the World Service Conference approved a motion allowing committees to make early motions to the World Service Conference General Service Assembly no later than 6 months before the scheduled date of that year's conference. And the exception is the early motions, which are proposals that are submitted early to help the fellowship grow and update its resources. Motions are presented at World Service Conference, and then they're voted on during the process of convocation. It's an important and essential way to participate in World Service Conference. They happen on the mornings of Saturday and Sunday, and they're the days also when conference hears reports from the new committees and caucuses that have been formed. Each committee and caucus in its old manifestation will end at the beginning of the World Service Conference. They make those reports on a Wednesday evening, and then the new committees and caucuses have a few days to make motions and recommendations to take to convocation. Then on the Friday night, the chair of the board, vice chair and secretary, along with our parliamentarian, review all of the motions that were put forth. And together they might think that this one seems more like a recommendation than a motion. So they make it into a recommendation. And then based on the numbers of motions and recommendations, the committees and caucuses are allotted a specific amount of time, either on the Saturday or the Sunday. On a Saturday, a committee will give their report, talk about what they've done, and then the chair of that committee will present the recommendations and take the motions one at a time. These appear on screen for everyone to see, and they can be edited in live time. Sometimes someone will ask the committee if they'll accept an amendment to the motion, and the committee gets together with the members of the committee and discusses whether or not they would accept that amendment. There's time for pros and cons, and people have time to get up and say, I'm in favor of this or I'm opposed to this. Everyone has access to a microphone, and there's a timer for everything during the convocations. Once the motion's wording's been accepted, it's edited live and it's all up on the board. The convocation will have a chance then to vote on that motion. Sometimes there's questions from one of the fellows, or ISR, or GSR, or board members don't know the answer to. So this gets discussed with our parliamentarian who sits up front next to Roger, our chair. There might be an off-mic discussion to see what's the best way to proceed. And during these discussions, we try to remember tradition one, that our common welfare should come first. And personal recovery depends on DA unity. There's a system of parliamentary procedure we follow because we've agreed to do that as a fellowship. We might have differing opinions, but it's the majority who decides on issues. We try not to say anything in a personal way about someone who's speaking, and the concepts become really important during convocation. So, for example, concept four, throughout our conference structure, we maintain at all levels a traditional right of participation, ensuring a voting representation. GSRs, ISRs, board members get to speak, get to vote. Then there's traditional rights of appeal and petition to protect the minority opinion and the consideration of personal grievances. If a vote's made and somebody in the minority is in the minority, they can speak to that and have their voice heard. And votes on motions can be reversed because of a minority opinion. And it's a really powerful motion at moment at convocation. It demonstrates that our system works well. Some of the motions from 2025 were the conference committee moved to update the current Section 6 of World Service Charter to allow for the consideration of a virtual World Service Conference by inserting the following after the first sentence. The location may be in person or virtual, and that motion passed. And I think maybe I'll leave it there with that one example. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Geraldine. I'll just mention, sorry to have misspoke there a little earlier. There are several motions last year, so they're available in the report. And thank you for sharing that one example. When motions come forward, they also require substantial unanimity. And so in our World Service Conference, substantial unanimity is two-thirds vote, unless it is involving our charter, and then it becomes a 75% vote. Our next speaker will be Rob, and Rob will share with us on how recommendations work. Rob, please go ahead.
Thank you, Roger, and thank you, Geraldine. Hi, my name is Robbie. I'm a debtor and grateful to be a Class A trustee of Debtors Anonymous. And here is a brief overview of WSE recommendations and a couple samples from last year. So during the World Service Conference, WSE committees and caucuses are given the opportunity to submit recommendations to various GSB and WSE committees, which are separate from actual motions that require a vote. Recommendations are not binding. They are suggestions and are read aloud during the WSC convocation by the committees who submitted them. They are published in the 2025 WSC report after committee motions, starting on page 12. Following the World Service Conference, the GSB Executive Committee assigns the recommendations to the appropriate committees, oversees the collection of responses, and assembles them for the GSB Conference Support Committee to publish in the current WSC Delegate Binder. For example, here are a couple of recommendations from last year's conference and the responses, which are not yet published. From the WSC Business Debtors Anonymous Committee, the Business Debtors Anonymous Committee recommends that the GSB hire a sound editor to remove the bottleneck of uploading recordings to the DA website. And GSB Comptech responded, the GSB Comptech Committee does hire sound editors for the recordings of fellowship-wide calls and the audio portion of fellowship-wide webinars. We are currently in the process of hiring an editor for this conference year. The main bottleneck in the audio recording production process is lack of funds. Here's another recommendation from the Public Information Committee. The Public Information Committee recommends that the GSB Communications and Technology Committee include the PI, Public Information, drop-down menu in a more visible location on our website. Break it into two sections, one being a link for helping professionals that includes the letter for professionals as well as the pamphlet for professionals. The other is to consist of the existing resources from the Public Information Manual and the response from GSB Comptech. Thank you for your recommendation. Great ideas. The DA website is under construction with many improvements happening. And please note, the Global PI GSB Committee is in the process of updating the PI manual. It is a process and it is underway. We hope to have a newly updated and current document that will be helpful to professionals as well as others wanting to help debtors in need. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate your service. As you can sense from looking at the document and hearing this brief overview, a lot happens in the 5 days of World Service Conference. It's really a nonstop business meeting. So there's a lot of excitement, a lot of debate, a lot of activity. And so this report really distills the highlights. Outside of the World Service Conference, the General Service Board is quite busy with other events. And so we've asked Bliss, our current vice chair of the General Service Board and also serving on GSB Nonpro, to speak to us about a recent Day of Sharing event that he and I attended. Bliss, please go ahead, and you have 5 minutes.
Great. Thank you, Roger. Hi, everyone. I'm Bliss. I'm a debtor. My solvency date is March 12, 2009. I'm in France. Good to see everyone. Nonpro thought it would be a good idea We host these sessions every year to talk about the WSC report and the upcoming early motions, but we also have other annual events that we are part of and we help plan. Day of Sharing is one, and then Rich will talk about the former trustee event. And non-pro, for those of you that don't know, that's the GSB Nominations, Procedures, and Planning Committee. And the members this year are Rob, Geraldine, Rich. Roger is chair as an honorary member, but he's been at every meeting. And we have a new GSB member who just joined us this month, Justin, who's a Class B and non-debtor. So we're very excited for that. Day of Sharing happened on October 3rd in 2025. Roger and I attended. Different people from different fellowships can attend this event. Usually it's either board members or executive staff. They ask that two members can speak, but we can have other people who attend as observers. So we did have a few observers from DA. And we don't really share about other fellowships in our meetings. That's due to Tradition 6. We don't want to affiliate with those fellowships. But behind the scenes on the board, we often do have business that we talk about other fellowships. And so we're going to do that right now in this meeting. And not deeply, but just in general. So Day of Sharing is a 6-hour conference of other fellowships. And this year there were 51 participants representing 21 fellowships. Participants, like I said, are usually board members or executive staff. AA originally started the Day of Sharing in 1991, and it was an in-person event at their general service office. Only a few fellowships were represented. It turns out that year, another fellowship, Codependent Anonymous, also started an in-person event for fellowships. And Rich, who's going to speak after me, was on the board back then, and he attended that event, which is pretty amazing. So AA kept hosting Day of Sharing, but it was kind of sporadic, and there wasn't any. They would just select different groups when they would decide to have it. But they started doing it regularly in 2017. We were invited to participate. Our chair and our vice chair attended in person at the AA General Service Office. That was in 2017. There were six other groups. And so it was supposed to become an annual event, but then COVID happened. And so there was no event in 2020. But from 2021 on, it's become a virtual event. And now it has a rotating host. And I don't know how many fellowships belong. We have a WhatsApp group where we ask each other questions about, how do you vote on this? How do you, are your conference set up? How do you publish stuff? We ran into this problem. Do you guys know a good lawyer that knows 12-step? And people are pretty helpful. There's a little radio silence sometimes, but usually it's pretty helpful. At the October event that Roger and I attended, it was hosted by Marijuana Anonymous. The host next year will be ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics and Other Family Behaviors or Family Dysfunction. I forget the exact name. And there were three topics. They poll all the fellowships, and we suggest topics, and then they pick three. And the topics this last year were publishing. The second topic was accessibility and representation, including open and closed meetings, meeting types, virtual and phone meetings, and Tradition 10 and outside issues. So that was a big discussion. And then the to third topic was how to develop a culture of sponsorship and service sponsorship within our fellowships. And I do remember from that conversation, we all kind of struggle with not having enough sponsors and needing more people to do service. That's just a general thing. Across, which is nice to learn that, we as debtors, we learn we're not the only ones. And so we're not the only nonprofits that have these struggles. Like I said, participants during the meeting share their experience, strength, and hope. And they often share service materials, which is really helpful. We've toured some of their general service offices, and they were so generous in the materials they provided. Hopefully we'll report about this next year. And thanks for letting me talk. Thanks, Rob. I'll turn it back over to you and Roger.
Thank you very much, Bliss. And next we have our GSB trustee, Rich, also from GSB Nonpro. And he'll speak to us for up to 5 minutes about a recent event that we held, which was called the Former Trustees of Debtors Anonymous. So, Rich, over to you. Welcome to the webinar, and you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Roger. Yeah, hi, everyone. My name is Rich, and I am a compulsive debtor and a Class A trustee pending ratification at the next World Service Conference. Every year, the DA General Service Board invites former trustees to join in a discussion about the state of our program to share their experience, strength, and hope. And we ask them to give us suggestions to help guide our future. Their insights, drawn from their World Service Office experience and continued participation in our program, help bring clarity, continuity, and engagement as our fellowship evolves. Well, this past January, we had about a dozen former trustees, and they were representing each decade of DA's experience were there. Then we met to offer ideas for our DA 50 celebration and lend their wisdom to our 5-year strategic plan. In that meeting, their suggestions to mark DA's anniversary, they ranged from promoting picnics and local in-person gatherings to sharing DA's history to highlighting our global growth. Their ideas for convention workshops also included topics such as how to maintain long-term solvency and tips for surviving the first 90 days and how to strengthen meetings. The wisdom behind their ideas was gained through the lessons they learned while being of service and working through the challenges the program has overcome. And for example, there was one challenge arose in 2004, when a letter was published in the DA Ways and Means newsletter, and it was titled A Fond Farewell to DA. In it, the writer claimed that after 9 years of solvency, they had no reason to stay in the program. There was nothing here for them. And the letter prompted this outpouring of responses and pushed us to examine what recovery looks like beyond solvency and what our program needs to do to help. The challenges like that have occurred across every decade, and every challenge has helped us grow, both as individuals and as a fellowship. At the DA 50 convention, you're going to find workshops that reflect the lessons learned by our former trustees. How to sustain solvency while continuing to grow, how to keep meetings vital in our changing world, and of course, how best to support the newcomer who still suffers. These gatherings of former trustees keep our institutional memory alive, which helps us all to make wiser decisions. As each of us shares our individual experience, strength, and hope, all of you, DAs, GSRs, working alongside us, the trustees of the General Service Board, we take the wisdom we gain from our individual and collective histories, and then by bringing that wisdom to our service work, we help Debtors Anonymous grow into a future that not only continues to help the debtor who still suffers, but can offer us a life beyond anything we can imagine. So, to everyone here today, I want to say thank you for being of service, because in doing so, I believe we're all gaining wisdom. And like our former trustees, we bring that wisdom not only to our meetings, but to our service work, work that helps shape DA's future. For this, I really sincerely want to say thank you for being of service. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rich. I would like to take this opportunity to mention at our recent day of sharing in January, we had the very first chair of Debtors Anonymous General Service Board, Donald A., with us that day. And Donald was the first trustee, and the first board meeting happened 40 years ago, although this year we're celebrating DA's 50th anniversary. And I just mentioned Donald because Donald passed away shortly after that trustees meeting, and he had a memorial service was held in Washington, D.C. And we are in the process of preparing an article about his work in the early days of our board, which will occur in one of our newsletters in the coming future. Okay. I will now speak for a few minutes on early motions. So, motions are presented by the World Service Conference committees. And these committees continue to work for one full year following the conference. However, their term of service ends at the end of July. And any recommendations or suggestions they have are forwarded to the new committee. And those committee members are the ones who make the recommendation or the motions for the current convocation year. Sometimes a committee may decide not to make that motion. So an early motion allows existing committees who have worked for many months on a particular project to be able to do what we call early motions. And early motions that then are sent out to the entire fellowship. And this allows groups to examine the early motions, debate them within their group or their intergroup, and provide some guidance to their elected representative, either the general service representative or the intergroup service representative, on how they may wish to consider voting during the convocation. Now, a delegate, when they attend the conference, has the ability to vote according to their conscience, and they may have heard additional information that has caused them to vote one way or another, which may be different than what their group recommended. These people, when they go back, need to report to the group and explain why they did this. So early motions allow for vigorous debate. It allows us to teach our entire fellowship about the motion process, debate, as well as substantial unanimity. So this year we have three early motions. And these early motions have been sent out, and they're also currently available on our website. We recommend that groups print them out and discuss them within their group. In my group, we hold a business meeting, dedicated to one of our monthly business meetings to the early motions, and we discuss them. And then we instruct our GSR or ISR what the group is feeling about this particular motion. So these are available on our website and can be downloaded and helps form our group conscience. So at this point, I'm going to invite three different people from three World Service Conference committees to address the early motions that their committees have presented. What I'll do is introduce the name and the of the person speaking and their committee, and I will read the motion, and then they will explain more about the motion and the rationale behind it. So first up, our speaker will be Zoe. And Zoe's a member of the World Service Conference Committee. So, welcome, Zoe. And she's going to be speaking on Motion 3. And Motion 3 is the World Service Conference Committee moves to amend Article 3 of the Debtors Anonymous Charter 2. No change in Article 10 of the Charter or in the 12 Traditions of Debtors Anonymous or in the 12 Steps of Debtors Anonymous may be made with less than written consent of three quarters of the responding Debtors Anonymous groups. All fellowship-wide votes will include the option to vote, quote, abstain. A responding group is defined as a registered group that submits a yes, no, or abstention vote. A threshold of at least three quarters of all registered groups of DA need to respond for the motion to be binding. So, Zoe, welcome to the call, and it's over to you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I'm Zoe. I am serving on the conference committee chair and have been a grateful member of DA since 2004. I'm going to actually introduce some slides that the conference committee created for us to be able to take a closer look at the charter. And also to be able to visualize the changes that we are proposing. So, first of all, I want to just echo Rich in giving thanks to everybody who is on the call, everybody who is a panelist, who takes a special level of care for our program to show up to these types of conversations and to give this level of service. So, I just wanted to express my gratitude. And I'm also going to say that this conversation is going to be very technical. So if folks don't understand exactly the mechanisms which with we make decisions. Please just keep reviewing the slide deck, which is actually available on the early motions page of our website. So I'm just gonna pop that into the chat. That's there for you. All the way at the bottom of the page, you'll find links to this particular slide deck, as well as our charter and our re original reference material, which is the AA charter. So, for folks that are listening to this call and are not going to actually see the visuals while they're listening, I'm going to describe the slide for people who might be coming back to this call later. So, we created our first page of this deck basically tries to illustrate the ways in which the charter mandates decision-making processes for the fellowship. So the charter is our organizing document for the conference. It guides us in how we make decisions. It was ratified back in 1994, and it's available in the Debtors Anonymous Manual Service, which you can also find on our website, as well as the Early Motions page. And I'm going to stack all the questions for the end after the presentation. So just please bear with, hopefully some of the questions will get answered along the way. So the conference committee wanted to take a closer look at the charter. So we created a subcommittee to really get to know the document. Most GSRs come in with a service mandate of 3 years. But oftentimes, we GSRs will serve for just 1 or 2 years. We might not even know that the charter exists as a document. And so the conference committee really wanted to try to make it more transparent and visible how we make decisions. In doing so, we discovered that the charter actually has four different criteria throughout the document, which constitutes a passing vote. So the four methodologies are laid out here in slide one, and you will see that Article 3 is the one that we are considering for change at our next conference. We have a variety of different ways in which we make decisions, from two-thirds of conference quorum up to written consent of three-quarters of all debtors' anonymous groups. I want to point out that Article 3, which mandates three quarters of all debtors anonymous group, is actually the only process where we do not use quorum. I'm just going to pause here and just say that quorum is, the bar that we usually use within our conference structures. So that would be a minimum number of members required to be present at the meeting for the group to conduct business and hold votes. For the World Service Conference, quorum is two-thirds minimum of registered GSRs present at the convocation. So just to also contextualize Article 3 a little bit more, as we were doing research, just have to say that that this is actually higher than the US Constitution to create a constitutional amendment, which is actually two-thirds of quorum, which is based on 50% plus one. That's the US Constitution. And as we were also doing more research into AA's charter, it actually turned out that we had taken the charter from AA, but in 1957 and 1955, Bill W. himself actually introduced amendments to allow for the vote to be based on responding groups, which unfortunately, for whatever reason, which is lost in the annals of time, that those were amendments and footnotes that were actually lost in translation. So our current charter is also a higher bar than the AA charter based on the charter of the US and Canada. I believe that Great Britain actually has a
Different standard, but I won't get into that because it's a different fellowship. Let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, terrific. So Roger read the motion, but I'm going to read it again so that way folks can just absorb the information. And again, if this is confusing in any way, repeated exposure actually helps familiarize. So please come back to this recording, come back to the deck. So our current Article 3 reads, no change in Article 10 of the Charter or in the 12 steps of Debtors Anonymous or in the 12 traditions of Debtors Anonymous may be made with less than the written consent of 3/4 of all Debtors Anonymous groups. All fellowship-wide votes will include an option for abstention. Our proposed change is actually to add the word responding in the sentence. So our current proposed change is no change in Article 10 of the Charter or the 12 traditions of Debtors Anonymous or in the 12 steps of Debtors Anonymous may be made with less than the written consent of 3/4 of all responding Debtors Anonymous groups. That's where the change comes in. All fellowship-wide votes will include an option for abstention. There is an additional sentence that we are adding. Responding group is defined as a registered group that submits a yes, no, or abstention vote. A threshold of at least 3/4 of all registered groups of DA need to respond for the motion to be binding. So it's really important for us to stress that the 3/4 threshold, which is the equivalent of quorum, is to really ensure that any change to the 12 steps and the 12 traditions cannot be made without substantial unanimity, that we have sought engagement, that we have discussed things in our home groups. Another note is that all abstention ballots are counted towards the minimum number of ballots returned, and it will have the same effect as a no vote. I'm sorry, I thought I had 15 minutes.
Sorry, go ahead, Zoe. That was my mistake.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, so let's just get into the reason why we're proposing this. For fellowship-wide votes, all responses are counted as no votes, the way that it's written. And that at any given time in a decentralized volunteer-based fellowship, I mean, we're all volunteers here. We're just trying to fit this in into our lives to the very best of our ability because we love the program. But there's no professional besides two people in the office who are doing their very best to keep a worldwide fellowship going. There's, really no way to know the actual number of DA groups. If a registered meeting has closed, it's very unlikely that the members of the group will reach out to the GSO to let us know that it's been disbanded. And in our experience in 2024, when the board and the GSRs went to extraordinary measures, really above and beyond, to hold a fellowship-wide vote and get all of the groups to respond, 20% did not respond despite everybody's best efforts. So when you consider, for instance, I go to a meeting, it has a very healthy meeting with 50 plus attendees every week. It has not had a business meeting since December. Meetings go defunct. They are, shadow listings on the website. They get a ballot, but there's nobody there to respond. The contact information goes bad. One of the other members of the subcommittee reached out to their local ISR group, and the person who is listed as the contact had not been in that role for a number of months. And the ISRs never got the information. So these types of things, like what one can consider leakages, almost impossible to avoid. And if you have 20% not responding, that ultimately means that it needs to almost be unanimous to be able to pass. And I would have to ask, is it fair for a group that has gone defunct and no longer exists for it to be counted as a no vote when we're actually holding a fellowship-wide vote? I have so much more to say, but I'm running out of time here. Maybe we can get to more points in the Q&A section. But just to say that it's totally understandable why people feel very strongly about protecting the steps. I just want to point out that Bill W. himself introduced the word responding in 1955 in terms of the amendment to their charter, and in 1957 introduced being able to change the steps. It's been 71 years, and their fellowship has flourished. No, nobody has done anything crazy to the steps and changed the content or the meaning of, a spiritual blueprint for that which we all experience recovery. It's simply to be able to keep up with the times and be able to change wording when, obviously technology has really changed. Let's actually go to the last slide just for a minute, because I want to make the rationale here. So just to say, I've outlined how Article 3 is almost impossible to execute because of this incredibly high bar. It took 14 years to modernize Tradition 11 with the administrative update. Back 14 years, I think that was, can't remember off the top of my head. I wasn't giving service then, but it must have been like, 2010. They tried to introduce the word the internet, add the word television and the internet, and there was not enough response for that to pass. And it took, 14 years to be able to add the words all other public media. These are the types of changes where we would like it to be easier for, the World Service Conference to make sure that our documents and our governing processes are relevant to the times. I think that the last thing I'll say is just that, I think that this particular article has been very contentious over the years. If you go back and you look at the history, there have been a number of attempts to change it, and there have been arguments to say that, that an unusually high standard, that things should be difficult to be able to change the steps and the traditions. Nowhere in our literature does it actually mandate that anything should be difficult. We do mandate substantial unanimity, minority opinion for decisions to be reasoned and carefully considered. To make things so difficult that it's almost impossible to change any of our documents is actually, in my view, crossing the line into fundamentalism, and that it's really not democratic. And, it's really important for us to consider the fact that we want to honor our volunteers and not abuse their service. And that was my cue to wrap it up. So to be continued. Happy to talk with anybody after the Q&A or at the conference about this motion. And I pass. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Zoe, for your service and everyone at the conference committee. Our next early motion is listed as motion number two. And I'll be introducing Peter from the Intergroup Caucus, who will speak to this motion. I'll read the motion, and then Peter, you'll have up to 10 minutes to give us some background. So the motion two reads, the WSC Conference Committee, on behalf of the Intergroup Caucus, moves to update the Intergroup Caucus Statement of Purpose, also known as the Mission Statement, to reflect closer alignment with its current focus and activities. We move that the following mission statement be adopted by the 2026-2027 World Debtors Anonymous World Service Conference. So the mission statement of the Intergroup Caucus: the main function of the Intergroup Caucus is to provide support to both new and existing intergroups. A goal is to help members understand the role of an intergroup in the overall organizational structure of DA. To this end, the caucus may create and maintain tools and services, such as the intergroup webpage on the DA website and the intergroup service handbook for Debtors Anonymous. So, Peter, over to you, and you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Peter, and I'm a debtor. Hello, everyone. The Intergroup Caucus has been operating with a new mission statement. The old mission statement, which I will read, I'm not sure if it's on the screen. Yes, it is. Thank you. The old mission statement mentioned experience with intergroups, but this is not actually a requirement to the GSR or ISR joining the caucus. So that's what we'd like to change there. The sentence that reads, includes GSRs and trustees who have experience in their local intergroups. And the other part here, the main function of this caucus is to create tools and resources and a better understanding of the role of intergroup in the overall structure, organizational structure of DA. That's basically just been reworded. It's the same. And the next sentence, the intergroup caucus helps support new and existing intergroups. That's also just been reworded. And the last sentence is the problematic one we're finding. In the age of Zoom meetings and people meeting from all over the world, intergroup caucuses now seem to be formed more around time zones or languages rather than a region. A member of the intergroup caucus, in fact, attends an intergroup in another country and is a representative from another country's intergroup. So it's just because of the Zoom and so forth, the virtual meetings, that this sentence about regionalizing is being taken out. Excuse me. Let me just read the background rationale here. First of all, members of the intergroup caucus would ideally have experience with intergroups. This is not a requirement. So at the conference, you can explore and join the intergroup caucus as a GSR or ISR. We don't ask that they have experience in intergroups to join. If they want to contribute, they're welcome to contribute. And note here that one can join one committee, but also one caucus, which is what I did now in my first year. Second, since most meetings and intergroups now meet online, the necessity of regionalizing intergroups is no longer the reality. So that's something too there. We're not saying that intergroups cannot regionalize. We're just taking the wording out. Sort of being exclusively regionalized is no longer the reality. And third, we want to promote the existence of literature available to support intergroups. So there is a bit of rewording to be a little more general by saying such as the intergroup webpage on DA website and intergroup service handbook for Debtors Anonymous. We don't think this motion will be that contentious. I'll take questions about it afterwards, if that's possible. And I think I've presented it now in the totality that I want to present. I will make a note here. This is sort of a administrative note. The intergroup caucus can't actually make a motion. So this motion has been made by the conference committee on our behalf. So committees can make motions, but caucuses can't. So this motion is on our behalf by the conference committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter. Appreciate your sharing on this and also explaining the difference between a caucus and a committee in terms of making motions. As Peter also indicated, each GSR or ISR is required to serve on a World Service Conference committee, and those who have extra time are welcome to also join a caucus, but it's mandatory to be part of at least one committee, or to be on one committee, pardon me.
And could I just interrupt for a second, Roger, just to mention that the name Zoom is not mentioned in the motion, but any discussion of Zoom is simply an example of online platforms. that could be used.
Yes, thank you for that. Yes, we use many different types of technology, so we're not promoting one over the other. And we have one final motion, and our speaker will be Ellen, and Ellen is representing the World Service Conference Underserved and Underrepresented Outreach Committee. So I'll read the motion and then pass it over to Ellen. In this case, while UUOC is making the motion, it's being presented on their behalf by a literature committee because it deals with literature. So the World Service Conference Literature Committee moves that the conference approve a concept for a new literature project, the Voices of Women in Debtors Anonymous. So Ellen, over to you, and you have up to 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Hello, I'm Ellen, a compulsive debtor and a member of Underserved and Underrepresented Outreach Committee for the past 3 years. I currently work on the Voices of Women Subcommittee of UUOC, and we brought this motion as a suggestion, as Roger said, because it's a piece of literature. We brought it to the Literature Committee. This motion is asking for this first step in the long process of creating a new piece of literature. So this first step is World Service Conference approval for a literature concept. If approved, the next step would be an outline for the pamphlet. This pamphlet would be a part of a series of Voices pamphlets, which are in progress. Last year, the conference approved the conception of literature on gender identity and debt and on unhoused recovery and debt. These also originated with UUOC and were presented to the conference by the Literature Committee. Some other Voices pamphlets in the series, for which LitCom is currently seeking stories, include Black Voices, Business Owners, Young People, and retirement. These pieces of proposed literature are consistent with the vision of UUOC, which is a commitment to identifying, reaching, supporting, and advocating for the underserved and underrepresented debtor inside and outside of DA, no matter what. The rationale for the Voices of Women pamphlet is based on awareness that women's experiences with debting and with recovery in DA are both distinct and underrepresented in our current conference-approved literature. The proposed pamphlet, again, Voices of Women in Debtors Anonymous, is intended to amplify the experience, strength, and hope of women in DA. It's intended to help women see ourselves in DA. Maybe you're wondering what makes women's experiences distinct. Some examples include internalized beliefs of inferiority based on messages about women from family and society. Women are often expected to sacrifice for the family while not pursuing careers or doing self-care. Women are frequently expected to be dependent on others, financially and otherwise. Statistics show a persistent wage gap in the US that women earn 70 cents for each dollar that men earn. These effects differ at different stages of life, by relationship status, by country of origin, and by race or ethnicity. So, examples of women who could be included in a Voices of Women pamphlet are Black, Indigenous, and women of color, or BIPOC women, immigrants and refugees, survivors of domestic and other sexual abuse, transgender and lesbian women, elderly women, women in business, married, divorced, or pregnant women, single mothers, and differently abled women. The Voices of Women pamphlet would remain firmly grounded in DA's spiritual principles, discipline, and compassion. This effort aligns with DA's commitment to unity, inclusivity, and carrying the message to all who still suffer. And it would support the promise, we will be the people we were meant to be. I want to end by inviting you to the DA UUOC webinar on Voices of Women, which will take place on June 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen. And I'd like to thank all of our speakers today from the World Service Conference committees, caucuses, and my trustees. So thank you for making the time and for your service. We'd like to ask DA members listening to consider making a donation for our seventh tradition to support Debtors Anonymous at the world level. And this can be done on our website at debtorsanonymous.org/donate. And there's various options there.